In our gospel today, it contains the parable of the Good Samaritan, which we've all known since childhood. And it's one, I think it's good to stop and think and approach this in the way that the church teaches us to read sacred scripture. Most of the time when we come to this parable, we approach it in one of the ways of interpreting scripture. It's called the moral sense, basically asking ourselves, how does this, how would this apply in my life? Which is basically what Jesus says right at the end of the gospel. He says, go and do likewise. Answering that question, who is my neighbor? That's what this whole parable has been about. And we think, okay, I should go and try to be like the Good Samaritan. Good point. Absolutely, we should do that. But it's interesting that the fathers of the church, those ancient great scholars of sacred scripture and teachers who base their teaching on this deep immersion in scripture, gave us other methods to approach the scriptures and to read them. And I would suggest we maybe always start with this one. After we understand what's going on in the parable or in the whatever passage of scripture we're reading on the literal level, but is the what's called the allegorical sense of scripture. The fathers of the church loved this. Basically, the premise, what it starts with, is asking yourself in every passage of scripture, where do I find Jesus? Where is Jesus in this passage? And so if we ask ourselves about this passage of the parable of the Good Samaritan, well, who in this parable is the most like Jesus? Clearly, the Good Samaritan, right? So that gives us a whole framework of reading this parable, doesn't it? If we read the parable with thinking that Jesus is the Good Samaritan, well, if Jesus is the Good Samaritan, then who are we in this parable? Who are you in this parable? Well, again, if we think a little bit, well, I guess I must be the man who is on his way down to Jericho, who is set upon by robbers and left on the side of the road. That sounds the most like me, to tell you the truth. Sort of helpless, pitiful, in great need. Especially in great need of Jesus. And lo and behold, here he comes along. And he stops, and again, when you start to read it, and this is what the fathers of the church love to do so much. They love to make all kinds of, wow, look, this must be this, and this must be this, and this must be this. Like, for example, the Samaritan traveler came upon him, moved with compassion. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them. Oil and wine. Isn't that interesting? If we're thinking of the Good Samaritan as being Jesus, and I'm this poor man on the side of the road, then what is that oil and wine that he pours into our wounds? Well, does it not evoke maybe perhaps some of the sacraments of the church? In particular, the anointing of the sick, which is administered with oil, and the Holy Eucharist, which uses wine as one of its key elements. He lifted him up and put him on his own animal and took him to an inn to care for him. And the next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Well, I wonder what this inn and this innkeeper is. Well, you're in the inn right now. The inn is the church. God took us and entrusted us to the church and gave the church everything the church would need to take care of us. And then this Good Samaritan said, and I'm coming back. And guess what? Jesus is coming back for us, for you, and for me. And so this is a very, very profound reading of this, parable. And I think it's even more important to start with this understanding of who Jesus is in this parable before we start to go out and be like the Good Samaritan ourselves. Because I hate to tell you, if you're going to run out of here and start to be the Good Samaritan, you're going to run out of steam pretty quick if you're going to try to do it on your own. Because you and I are too wounded in and of ourselves. We've got to be taken care of first. And then we can give. You can't give what you don't have, right? But once you've received, then you can give. And who is the one who is going to give to us everything we need? Well, the Good Samaritan, the Lord Jesus. And this should have the effect, more than anything else, of causing us to love him more. Don't you imagine that that man, wounded and left for dead on the side of the road, how do you think he felt towards this complete stranger who stopped when others who should have didn't? Surely there was great love, great devotion, great gratitude, all of which are things that build up our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and to predispose us then to open our hearts to receive more from him. And then, but really only then, are we equipped to go out and to be the Good Samaritan, which is just another way of saying being Jesus. It reminds us of our fundamental relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ that's revealed to us in his very name. Jesus' name in Hebrew means God saves. That's exactly what the Good Samaritan does. He is Savior to this man who's been beaten up by the robbers and left on the side of the road. And that's who Jesus is for you and for me. He is our Savior. We've been beaten up by the devil and sin and death and all those kind of things that follow from him and left on the side of the road where we will surely die. But Jesus comes. Jesus comes. He heals us. He brings us to the church. He gives the church everything that she needs to take care of us. And he promises to come again. And surely he will today on this altar.